Hello, and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I'm your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled Building a Just Culture. In a world where mistakes are inevitable, how can organizations foster an environment where individuals feel safe to speak up, learn from failures, and strive for continuous improvement? This is the essence of Just Culture. From healthcare to aviation, from technology to finance, Just Culture transcends boundaries, shaping the ethos of high-performing teams and nurturing a culture of accountability and trust. In today's episode, we will embark on the journey of Just Culture for Maine Health. To join me in the conversation today are my guests, Alex Penny, Senior Director, Patient Safety and Risk Management, and Dr. Mark Parker, Vice President, Quality and Safety for Maine Health. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Kelly.
So as we begin to talk about our journey, Alex, I want to start with you to say, maybe let's back up a moment and can you define what Just Culture means?
Absolutely. And of course, there's many, many definitions, right? But I think they have common themes amongst them. So I would define it as a work environment that strikes the right balance between accountability and being a learning organization where we do not punish our care team members for making honest mistakes and where we have shared responsibility between frontline care team members and leadership to identify and fix underlying process and systems issues.
Great. Wonderful. So Mark, why is Just Culture important?
Well, Kelly, I think this is an important part of the safety strategy that we sent out that we set out almost 2 years ago now for Maine Health. And we based that safety strategy on a strategy called Free from Harm, I should say, which was part of the National Patient Safety Foundation goals that were set out in 2015. And part of that strategy is to focus on leadership actions to sort of set the tone around safety culture. We measure safety culture every year. It is something you can measure. It's something you can quantify. And we think deliberately about the components of it. And in our Just Culture training that we do, that Alex and I have done for several groups in the organization, we have a slide around safety culture that talks about the different cultures that contribute. There's learning culture, there's flexible culture, there's informed culture, there's reporting culture. All of these have their own definitions in a way that contribute to safety culture. And then there's just culture. And just culture, in my mind, is the component that links leadership actions around errors or just performance in general to the work that we do every day. And this is really not just about the clinicians at the front line. A lot of it is about the clinicians, and a lot of it is about our patients' safety, but also it's about performance in general across the organization. So a lot of the same strategies and concepts apply in any interaction between a supervisor and somebody who works with them. And it's really about what do we do when people don't live up to expectations.
Right.
And we think we've learned, I think we've learned really well in this organization to step away from the concept of immediate blame and really look at what our system is all about and what are the things that happen in our system that set people up for error. But Just Culture is not only about that. It's about looking at personal accountability as well. And it's creating an algorithm for leaders, managers, supervisors, anyone you want to define as a leader, to work with their staff members and assess what happens in a situation where somebody has not lived up to expectations, so to speak. It's a framework for managing our initiatives like positive patient identification and universal protocol. And so it's really foundational to our safety strategy and trying to be a high reliability organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you talked about the algorithm, because, you know, there is a continuum, right, to that algorithm in terms of what's really the nature of what calls and drives the event, and then appropriate actions kind of guide along that continuum. So kind of in that vein, you know, Alex, what do we see in organizations like ours that are building a culture of just culture? Where do the majority of errors occur? Or maybe a different way to say that is, what are the majority of errors caused from?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Kelly, for that question. You know, it's really important in a just culture to distinguish between human error and violations, mm-hmm. right? So human error is always unintended, right. Never an intentional act. We all commit or perform errors on a day-to-day basis, right? Because we are fundamentally fallible as human beings. So the most common type of human error we see is related to lack of attention or memory issues. Mm-hmm. So then there are other types of errors where we just sometimes get it wrong, mm-hmm. right? So, but all of us have cognitive blips, and I can share a story from my own history where I had to rush my mother to the emergency department for a very bad wrist break. She had a bone sticking up out of her wrist.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was 5 hours into the waiting room wait at time in the emergency department. It was not a main health facility, by the way. I realized at that moment, something opened up in my brain to say, you have a pot on the stove that's boiling, and it's been boiling for 5 hours.
Oh, gosh.
But you know, we all have moments in life where situational awareness gets away from us. We become distracted by other emergencies. And so you can imagine in healthcare, mm-hmm. whether you're a clinician or not a clinician, or somebody that works in IT systems, or where something goes down, it takes your attention away from other sort of day-to-day activities. And we all experience that. The other side of the coin, if you will, are violations. And mm-hmm. violations are intended acts against process, policy, laws, and we further break those down into risky and reckless behaviors. And risky is a drift from a normalized process. We call it normalized deviance. We can see this in teams of individuals that are sometimes just trying to make work more efficient. Sometimes it's due to complacency and perhaps being a little bit overconfident in some of our what we know or what we think we know. And then there's also reckless behavior. And that's very different from risky behavior, because reckless is acting against the rule without care or concern for another mm-hmm. individual. So if you think about the continuum, right, if it's on a continuum, in the case of the pot boiling over, I shouldn't be disciplined for that, right? I should be consoled.
Right.
But if I, for instance, in a reckless act, am intentionally running red lights and without care or concern, then that I should be disciplined, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really where the continuum comes from within a just culture. It's mm-hmm. really having leaders take the time to understand the circumstances under which the performance or event occurred, and then really apply fair and just principles to based on the facts.
Right, which makes all the sense. And I have to imagine that the majority of the times, the percentage of kind of what the driver was probably is more in that human error,
yes.
right? No yes. intention. And probably with exception when we have that reckless situation, or we hope so.
Absolutely. I think the volume percentage of reckless acts much, much lower than what you would expect with human error.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But good to know that through just culture and the practice of examining when failures or errors occur. And I think, Mark, to your point, obviously we do that in the clinical outcome setting, but this could apply to any setting, right, where we see a breakdown and that occur, that we use the same methodology and process to really analyze and make really thoughtful decisions around what do we do to make sure this never happens again, right? And I think that's really important, but also good to know that majority of the time it's just simple unintended, like you said, blips or cognitive failures that we all do have as humans. So we've talked a little bit about that continuum, where the majority of errors occur, what they're caused from. But obviously, to know that information, people have to report that information, right? For us to even be able to have that dialogue or conversation or discernment. So, Mark, where does reporting of events come into play with a just culture, and how important is that?
Sure. It's an excellent question, and it's very important. But even more important than that, I have to hear the end of Alex's story. Did you leave the pot on?
I sent my husband home to get the pot. And I actually was asked this question during a Just Culture training last week. I still have the pot. And that's what you get when you buy a quality all-clad pot. Okay, so okay. It didn't melt. A cheap pot probably would have lit my house on fire. But yes, I still have the pot today. But it was a briquette in the bottom. Any longer, and it likely would have actually lit on fire.
Right. Well, so. Thanks, Mark.
No harm outcome there.
No harm. That's good. That's good.
So, so to come back to your question, okay. Kelly, where does event reporting come into play? And I talked earlier about different types of culture that contribute to safety culture, and we talked about reporting culture. Most healthcare organizations rely heavily on voluntary adverse event reporting. Mm-hmm. For us, we use the RL Datix system. There are other ways to learn about events, obviously. We have other pathways for hearing when something has happened, such as a sentinel event. And there are some areas where we can use trigger tools to do extra work to actually look for events that we may not have heard about. At the end of the day, though, it's really that adverse event reporting system that's very important to us. And for that to be effective, we have to have a transparent environment where people feel like they can report mm-hmm. without punishment.
Right.
And that really ties very nicely to our concepts around just culture. In our organization, as happens in many organizations, a large number of our event reports come through nursing, mm-hmm. through their day-to-day work and in their shifts. At some of our larger organizations, like a Maine Medical Center, for example, we get on the order of 12,000 reports per year through the RL system. And that's really the lion's share of what allows us to look for trends in what's happening, to prioritize which are the ones that seem to be giving us the most trouble, and also to focus on the events that don't necessarily lead to harm, right? So in Alex's case, there was no bad outcome in the end other than she lost a pot.
Right.
But it could have been very different if she had had a fire. Mm-hmm. We definitely need to hear about and investigate the events where error occurs. Where harm occurs, but we also need to hear about the events where there are so-called near misses.
Right.
And we have to apply the same logic when we think about just culture and that continuum of systems issues versus personal accountability. One of the things that we talk about in the leadership training around just culture is no harm, no foul, right? Mm-hmm. That sometimes something doesn't get quite as much attention or play if the outcome was not as severe. I think about the Redonda Vaught case mm-hmm. at Vanderbilt, which we also talk about in that training, where as a critical care nurse, she had administered inadvertently a paralytic agent to someone where a anxiety-reducing agent or a sedative was actually prescribed, and that ended up leading to death. And there ended up being a criminal prosecution mm-hmm. in that case. By way of contrast, a very similar incident happened at another institution a year or two later, but it was caught before harm actually happened to the patient. Right. And yet, in some ways, you have to look at performance the same way mm-hmm. for both of the events, but it's the event where the harm occurred or the bad outcome occurred that gets the bigger play. When we think about event reporting, we need to take them all seriously. We need to be in the high reliability lingo, preoccupied with failure.
Right.
And we need to look at the ones that were near misses just as seriously as we look at the ones that led to a bad outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, you referenced training. You've both referenced training a couple of times. So that really goes into my next question, which is, how do you implement a just culture, and what steps are we taking at Maine Health? Clearly, there's some training happening, but who's that training for? How is that going to roll out and perhaps mature over time for the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll share in responding to that one with Alex. But, and I want to credit Alex for bringing some of the work she did previously and some of the materials she used previously at her in her work out in Portland, Oregon at mm-hmm. Providence Health, where she did similar work with colleagues to teach about just culture. And we have a combination of activities that include in-person training for our leaders and managers. We have a didactic that we go through, and then we do case-based learning with a number of cases that demonstrate different aspects of just culture and how to use the algorithm. And our goal this year is to have all our leaders formally trained within this current calendar year as a starting point, but only as a starting point. And then we have some thoughts around sustainability and also getting information to the rest of our team that I'll ask Alex to describe.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. You know, education is necessary, but not sufficient, right, to actually really, truly adopt and right. integrate just culture principles. So as Mark shared, education of all leaders with at least one direct report is a primary focus of FY24. And then moving forward, really thinking about how we're constantly bringing this back before all of our leaders, communicating to all care team members that this effort is underway and right. that we're really committed to these practices. And ultimately, it really requires leaders to utilize the decision guide. Yep. And, you know, and I think a really key point of the training is we shouldn't be waiting for something terrible to happen to utilize the decision right. guide. That it's not intended, just culture is not about punishment. Mm-hmm. It's actually a development tool. It can be used for coaching and consoling team members and developing right. them. It's not just intended to determine when punishment or discipline is appropriate. So we really need our leaders to actively use the decision guide, take it out, find a friend, talk to their one-up, you know, connect with HR and apply the decision guide each and every time. Out of all the training materials we have, that decision guide is the most important tool yeah. contained within the materials.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guessing that, you know, I kind of have a final question for both of you, like your perspectives. But I think, Alex, I feel like you may be repeating something that you just said in your answer to this last question. But as we kind of close this out, right, we're on the journey, starting with leadership, because that is critically important, as you mentioned. What do you think is the most important thing for our care team members to take away about just culture?
Yeah, there's so many options, Kelly, right? I think my answer is probably different on each day, but I would say it's really important for all care team members listening to this podcast to really step back and self-evaluate their own risky practices. And we all drift into risky places. Yeah. I don't always come to a full stop at a stop right. sign. I know it's against the law. I really should stop, right? We've all adapted and adopted practices to just try to make sense of the work. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important for us to step back and self-evaluate, am I following the practice that Maine Health has set forth and has defined as the process? Right. And the positive patient ID practice is a great place to start. If
Absolutely.
You're not using two identifiers before each and every service, this is a good opportunity for you to have a discussion with yourself and with your entire team to ensure it's being followed each and every time. And that really is a principle of a highly reliable organization. We have practices that we apply 100% of the time with the idea to actually prevent harm and suffering to patients yeah. and care team members.
No, absolutely. And thank you for calling out the positive patient ID, because we know that so many healthcare related errors can be prevented by just following that simple process.
Yes.
And it is very simple. And many times we have multiple steps to do it even before interaction with patient occurs. And it's just the most foundational thing we can do, and why obviously it's become a red rule for us at yes. Maine Health, because it's that important. But I think your comment about examining where, looking inward to say where my risky behavior is and how might I, you know, think more about that is a great one. Mark, I'll ask you, in addition to what Alex said, what would be for you the most important takeaway for our care team?
The thing I'd like to convey is that this is not a flavor of the month.
Right.
That we have a very deliberate safety strategy plan at a management level at Maine Health and we're connecting it very deliberately around improving safety culture. Mm-hmm. And we're doing this fairly early in a plan that we're working on over years, because we think it takes time to do the incremental work to really build high reliability. And just culture and positive patient ID, as an example, are really the foundational pieces. Just culture gives us that framework to deal with error or performance problems when they come up, because error and performance problems can come up in anything we do in safety. And positive patient identification comes up very early in our safety strategy, because that's our red rule. That's the single fundamental thing that we have to get right before we do anything else in the care of our patients.
Great. Well, thank you for that. I want to thank you both for joining me on this episode of the Working Together with Kelly Elkins podcast. Personally, having been part of organizations with really robust just culture, I am extremely excited that we're bringing this to life at MaineHealth. I think it's extremely important and serves to benefit the entire organization, ultimately our patients, but even our own care team members and how they do their work and support each other. And so appreciate you kind of getting kind of that 30,000 foot view level of it today, and know there'll be much more coming as we methodically, Mark, as you put it, really with intention, roll out this plan and strategy around our culture of safety, just culture, and high reliability. So thank you both.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Well, I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as MaineHealth to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. If you have ideas for topics for future podcasts, please email those to workingtogether@mainehealth.org. Thank you, and have a blessed day.